Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, Murph. Whatever happened to Chris from Green Bay?
I'm Keith Murphy. A perfect timing, John. Chris from Green Bay just checked in from NFL training camp.
Hey, Murphy. Look who I ran into. How's it going, Iowa?
No, Iowa State. Put some respect on it.
Iowa the State.
Iowa State.
All right, Iowa State. Hawkeyes. I'm just kidding. Cyclone.
Cyclones, baby. Yeah.
Live from WHO HD, it's Sound Off with Keith Murphy and John Sears. Featuring Andy Fales with What's Bugging Andy. Now, get ready to Sound Off.
Alongside John Sears, I'm Keith Murphy. Welcome to Sound Off. How about that Chris from Green Bay back from the dead again?
Yeah, wasn't he like the villain kind of on Sound Off back when I was in high school? I mean, he's still around doing stuff?
When you're in high school, is that some kind of shot at me?
I mean, I guess you could have called yourself Mr. Sound Off back then, but you lost the title kind of when others came along, but you know that was way back when. I mean, I couldn't even drive when you were on
the. It wasn't 50 years ago. Jeez, man. Sound Off at 515-282-9010. Crazy week of weather. Iowa 300 did not finish until early this morning after lightning and rain delays. Gosh, what a lightning bolt that was. Props to the fans who waited all of that out. I was surprised how many were still there to see Joseph Newgarden take the checkered flag.
Yeah, 4 hours of waiting in the stands. And in the feel-good story of the week, Humboldt's Ashlyn Clark meets John Lester as the two cancer warriors exchange autographs. Let's Sound Off on anything. 515-282-9010.
There is a new reality for Cyclone football. High expectations. Scratch underdogs, cellar dwellers, and opponents circled win. Longtime fans must adjust, and more than a few have confessed it's not easy. Not because those fans don't want to win, but they're conditioned. There's been an occasional big upset and a good season here and there, but mostly Cyclone fans have waited for the inevitable gut punch, or worse. Media picking Iowa State third? Some suggesting conference championship? That hasn't happened since dirt. Head coach Matt Campbell knows expectations mean progress.
I think maybe one of the greatest things that's been known when I first got to Iowa State, all the questions were about what color uniforms are you wearing? What's your entrance song? People cared about stuff that really doesn't matter. And now we're talking about a football team.
In defense of fans, that entrance music was bad, and alternate uniforms do attract recruits. But Campbell's larger point is spot on. When you're winning football games, all the rest is window dressing. Winning attracts attention, which means Iowa State won't sneak up on anyone. That's an adjustment for fans and players. Remember the game at Texas? Longhorns did not look past Iowa State, which is both compliment and future challenge. For Hawkeye fans, it's also a new normal. The security blanket of the Cyclones sucking is no longer there. Can't even snap off a jab about Iowa State dragging down Iowa's strength of schedule. Though count on being reminded, Matt Campbell still has not beaten the Hawks. Campbell gets another chance week 3 in Ames. Just one more reason. This is the most anticipated Cyclone football season in memory. Are we there yet?
Not yet. Still have about 6 weeks to go, but it's getting close. All right. The Des Moines Public School System has asked the State High School Union and Association to consider changing the sports classification structure. The primary reason? Socioeconomic status. In other words, wealth versus poverty. 77% of kids in the DMPS qualify for free or reduced lunch. This is not a public school versus private school argument. It's a metro inner city schools versus suburban schools argument. And it starts with football. Metro schools have not beaten a suburban school in football in 10 years. 112 straight losses. The gap continues to get wider. The problem is numbers for football, and it's about depth and quality depth. A lot of kids in the metro schools face many disadvantages that some kids in suburban schools never face. You'd be naive to think otherwise. But we also need to remember, not everyone at a suburban school is a millionaire. And just because schools like Waukee, Valley, Dowling, Centennial, and others win championships, does not mean they don't work hard. They all work extremely hard, just like the metro schools. It starts with training at a younger age. Professional coaches, camps, travel teams, all things many DMPS families cannot afford. Some kids work full-time or take care of siblings. Second, money invested in sports by school districts. Many metro coaches told me they want the DMPS to do more, spend more, treat athletics like a stepping stone activity to college, like debate or band. I agree. But on the flip side, school funding through taxes is much different from metro to suburbia. So should the solution be to reclassify based on wealth? It's tricky because while there's a huge gap in football, the metro schools have won state championships in other sports, and they're very competitive in those other sports, just not in football. And make no mistake, if the state decides this is a valid argument, they will have to reclassify the entire state based on socioeconomics. Every school cannot just be the DMPS. Plenty of other school districts face poverty challenges as well. Now, some have suggested only reclassifying football. I get that, but doesn't that discredit the entire socioeconomic argument? Wouldn't all sports in the DMPS be under the socioeconomic label? If they only reclassify football, that gives off the vibe that it's just about winning and losing in one sport, and not really about socioeconomics. Would it be fair for a metro school to pick and choose what sports play down and what sports play up? Again, it's tricky. And do we want kids being put under the socioeconomic label, dropped down in class because they're, quote, the poor school? We teach kids to work hard even through tough circumstances, keep fighting. And now there's a proposal to make the competition easier because they aren't winning enough. Again, it's tricky because success breeds opportunity and numbers. Win more, participation increases. I don't have a perfect solution. No one does or will. What I can tell you is something my mom has said to me many times throughout my life. Life isn't fair. That's not meant to be mean, but reality. Academics, athletics, career, everything and anything, you name it, someone is always going to have some type of advantage. It's the world we live in.
This has been such an interesting debate, and you did a great balanced job on the reporting that you did. If you've missed the story, you can find it at whotv.com or on the Sound Off Facebook page or my page. It's also linked on Twitter. It's easy to find. It's a 6-minute story.
Yeah, you kind of have to go in-depth about it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of different angles to look at.
This is one of those things where I've heard people on both sides make really good points.
Strong arguments on both sides. Yeah.
And there's not a perfect solution. There's not an easy solution. But I think ultimately, I would come down on the side of I just don't know how you can do this. I don't know how you can classify by socioeconomic status.
I know other states have tried, and they have certain criteria in play where, you know, I mentioned the free and reduced lunch. You know, say the average for the state of Iowa is 43%. Des Moines Public Schools is at 77%. So say one of the schools is 40% higher than that, they'll take that number and take it off your enrollment. So then your actual enrollment numbers drop, and then you may be able to drop a class or two. But again, I hearken back to the sports that you are competitive at. I mean, North basketball, the past 6 years that I've been here in Des Moines, was so much fun to watch them play. You think they want to go down and play in Class 2A? I mean, they want to play Valley. They want to play Johnson. Right. And they beat a lot of those schools. The main argument is football.
Yeah, football. This really is about football.
And that
takes more athletes.
And that's the hard part. Because if it's strictly about football, then I think they need to come out and say, look, we're not good in football. We need to do something about football. But when you throw in the entire school district as the socioeconomic label, that brings every sport into play.
Football is also the most expensive sport.
It is.
So it needs the most funding, facilities, As you said,
coaches,
the league,
they need
the
a coaches, lot of coaches, right, good coaches, yeah.
Right. You can get two star basketball players, yeah, surround them with some role players and make a run at state.
For sure.
But in football, that's not going to do it. You, yeah, have to have more numbers out there.
Especially in 4A. I mean, you're playing, right, these big schools, right, you need depth. Because a lot of these players on these metro schools, they have some really good skill players. It's the depth and it's the line play depth. You know, that you got to have at least. Coach Will Siffin said it earlier this week. You got to have 30 to 35 quality players to even have a chance.
It's an interesting discussion, and we could have a whole another one, yeah, on parochial schools versus public schools. Time for lookalikes with a local connection. Tiny Ref Judges Ben from Ankeny says Iowa nice guy Scott Sipker and Stranger Things actor Brett Gelman. Tiny Ref.
Great show, by the way, right? You love it.
Stranger Things? Yes. I like it.
No, you love it.
I like it. I like it. Jeff says, humble owner of OK Tire Store, Jeff Dreyer, looks like Buzz Lightyear. Tiny Ref?
This is digging deep into, yeah, a lookalike.
Well, here we go. Has science gone too far? It's a question we need to ask.
Guys, by next week at this time, we'll have almost forgotten about it. But before it's completely gone, let's have a little more fun with FaceApp. And then, never speak of it again. It's What's Bugging Andy next.
Time for another game of Knockout, Iowa's most popular NFL teams. Three from the NFC, one from the AFC, but one has to go.
Which team do you knock out? Who's the most despised?
That's kind of what we're asking, yeah, here, right,
yeah,
I guess?
Most despised team. Yeah, Bears, Chiefs, Packers, Vikings. Vote on Twitter at SoundOff13. These pictures look like they have a theme to them for some reason. I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something.
Yeah, I think we may figure that out soon enough. For nearly 24 hours, we lost Andy Fails to the Face app.
Well, I guess it was worth it because he's got a What's Bugging Andy out of it.
Man, that Face app was something this week, eh? That sucker got hot, then cold, faster than a J-Lo marriage. It went from completely unknown to national sensation to completely over in a matter of days. But in that time, it rocked us a little, didn't it? We got to see the overripe versions of ourselves, see what the blue plate special is going to look like in the mirror. It gave the marketing teams at Buick and the hearing aid companies a preview of their future customer base. And it was scary how well that app worked too, right? I mean, you've been watching me age here for almost 20 years, but you didn't get that 20 years in one shot. Look at that. I can practically smell the Metamucil on my breath. That app is incredible. I mean, look at that. There's me. And then there's me with crow's feet the size of pitchforks. Now, not all the news was bad. Look at Murph. He gets to keep what hair he has left. And this pick was so good, it compelled me to run it through twice. So here you have Murph on old Sportscaster's Day 2059, standing for this photo in Velcro strap shoes and a diaper. More good stuff. Face app worked wonders on photos that were already exaggerated. Bella Karolyi suddenly looked much more like the real thing. And take this silly picture of me and then run it through twice? And that's just good, clean fun. But as much as you laughed, you also felt a twinge of pain, right? I mean, out of these pics came a little voice that said, "You're gonna die." And maybe that's the reason we were just as quick to dump FaceApp as we were to pick it up. After all, those of us over the age of 30 work to deny the effects of aging, not share a selfie of them. We got it. We're getting old. And we're going to get older. So, carpe diem, gather ye rosebuds while you may, and enjoy that pepper, because there ain't nothing but salt to come. FaceApp is proof of that. I'm Andy Fails, and that's what's bugging me.
And now the Russians have all of Andy's passwords, boy, and personal information. Still ahead, Peter Jok's memorable first pitch. Twitter is @SoundOff13. Lisa writes about the socioeconomic proposal. This sends the wrong message to kids. It's saying that if you are poor, you should be given an advantage. They should be saying work hard, give 100%, 100% of the time. The administration should do more to support the student athletes. Life is not fair.
Sounds like my mom right there. Life isn't fair. Mike writes, besides football, how much of an issue is this really? Roosevelt produces great track teams and has another good baseball team this year. North has good basketball year in and year out. I'm sure there are other non-football examples of solid sports teams. Sports-specific solution?
There is a bit of a gap in some of the other sports, but football is the mainly what we're talking about here. Who's in your five? John, you wanted to do it this week.
Yeah, thanks. Here we go. Andy mentioned the Face app. Here are current Sound Off hosts as old men. Number five, the new guy, Mark Freund, finally looks old enough to be on television.
Yeah, he does.
Number four, Sipker. Good chance he's finally funny because he looks like current Bill Murray.
That's kind of a shot at Sipker, but
Number three, Andy. We saw it. Doesn't age much and, of course, hangs on to his hair. And number two, here's me as an old man. I look pretty good. Probably still called Mr. Soundoff and number one Soundoff host as an old man. And number one, you, Keith Murphy, number one on the app age.
That's a current photo.
Well, the good news is, I mean, you still have your health.
I get the joke. All four are 30 years from now projected as old men, and this is me now. The joke?
I didn't even know it was a joke. I just thought it was the app photo.
All right, let's get to Jared.
Aged app.
Right Jared, and that is not the aged app. That's my current photo.
What?
That's my current photo.
I swear I plugged it into my phone, and that's how it came out. Right there. That was the aged app photo.
That's so mean. That's so mean. Jared in Des Moines. Jared, you have a response to John's commentary tonight on the socioeconomic model for classifying sports?
Yeah, absolutely. So John says, you know, life isn't fair and it's the world we live in, but we know that football benefits greatly from each dollar invested. That's evidenced in that, 0-114 record. It's as clear of evidence as the 77% lunch assistance that he mentioned. I think, you know, we can engineer a better world for these kids to live in. Funding should be at the state level, period. Rich white suburbs shouldn't get preference over poor minority inner cities or poor white rural communities, really, for that matter. So I think, yeah, you know, life isn't fair. It's the world we live in, but we should be doing better by these kids.
Hey, Jared, real quick, you sound like you know a lot about the topic. Just a quick thought. What about the sports in the metro schools that are successful? How do you explain those that are successful?
We know that football teams greatly benefit from the dollars invested. Coaching, facilities, strength and conditioning work, speed work, all these things. And it's also not just that, but it's also the kids, obviously, that have to live in the inner city. So we need to do a much more broader, holistic plan. But this is just one symptom of, you know, you've touched on something huge, you know, you're not even, you know, at the tip of the iceberg. And I think
And I think we all would agree that we've said it. There's a huge gap in football.
There is.
The thing is, though, if it's just football, I think they need to say it's just football.
The problem is
that's the whole that's kind of the hard part to argue, isn't it?
Yeah. If nothing changes, I think in the next 100 games you won't see a win when the Metro schools play the suburbs.
Mitch Moore, Roosevelt is convinced he can turn Roosevelt around, so we'll see.
I think he can make Roosevelt better, and I think he will make Roosevelt better, but there is such a gap.
It is, yeah.
And the challenge is to find a way to close that gap, I think, without having to say we want to be classified elsewhere because we have so many kids on reduced lunch. And how do you do that? It's what the caller said. You do it with better funding, and that's what Kim Carson was saying. We need more funding put in. The suburban schools are able to get money for athletic
facilities,
programs much easier than the metro schools. But how do you do that, especially at a time where teachers are having to buy their own pencils and having to buy their own school supplies?
And, you know, in raising taxes, I mean, it's let's face it, sometimes it's easier to do it in the suburban areas than it is in the metro inner city area.
Yeah. A simple act of kindness and more when John and I face off next. Knockout favorite Iowa NFL teams, one had to go.
And that one is the Packers. Bears and Vikings fans teamed up to bounce the pack. Time to bounce around some more topics. We call it face-off. We do call it face-off. Iowa football player Tristan Wirfs was cited for a simple misdemeanor for being underage at a bar in Iowa City. Kirk Ferentz says Wirfs will not be suspended. I'm fine with that. Wirfs is 20. He was in a bar after 10 o'clock. Not a huge deal. Run some extra sprints.
A suspension of even one game would be nearly 10% of the season. There are times that's warranted. This is not one of those times. Trust the coach.
Any opposing player that goes horns down, the gesture during a football game directed to Texas or Longhorn fans, will be penalized like a celebration penalty. That seems a little weak.
It just makes more people want to go horns down. The Big 12 has made it a bigger issue. Taunting of any kind should not be tolerated, and that's all that needed to be said.
Cubs pitcher John Lester made good on his promise and met Ashlyn Clark and her family this week at Wrigley Field. This was awesome to see, and you could tell it meant a lot to Lester to have the Clark family there.
Lester's a cancer survivor. Survivors and fighters draw inspiration from each other. Lester told us he will keep his Ashlyn Clark autographed baseball in his locker until he's done. We love the kindness Lester showed Ashlyn, and we're all inspired by her attitude. It's so positive, and as we all know, cancer sucks.
For sure. Peter Jok is a great basketball player, but did you see his first pitch at the iCubs game? About 90 miles per hour straight into the ground. We've seen this before. Great athletes struggle with first pitches.
Did I see it? I saw it 10 times. Let's make it 11. Peter strides to the mound with confidence. He had put out a Twitter poll asking fans if he'd throw a ball or strike, and the majority of fans accurately predicted ball, but I doubt they were thinking bounce pass. Afterwards, Peter talked to our Mark Freund, and Jock just owned it, laughed about it, and said baseball is harder than it looks, and that is a true statement.
Still not as bad as Sean Johnson.
Over under. Big Ten West football, overrated. Nebraska. The Huskers will be improved,
for
maybe
sure.
Even vastly improved. Scott Frost can coach, but 4-8 to West champion, even with a soft schedule, seeing is believing.
Underrated Northwestern, defending champs, picked fourth behind Nebraska, Iowa, and Wisconsin. More often than not, the Wildcats are underrated, so this is an educated guess.
Yeah, that is. That's a good educated guess. Yeah. Why are they so often underrated?
They're always picked to finish middle of the pack.
And they won the West by
Let's get ready to end Sound Off! 1 minute.
All right, thank you,
good.
Tiny Ref. All right, Mike, with another quick thought here in the final minute, Mike, on John's commentary tonight.
Yeah, so I went to North, and after I was had been graduated for a while, they combined North and Hoover Wrestling, and they experienced success with that. And I know North and Hoover have always struggled with numbers for football, so that's another possibility that teams could combine. We could say like a Metro North or West or Metro East or South or something like that, where schools combine, it creates more competition, it creates more, more buzz for the team because you have more numbers. I think
I'm sorry to cut you off there. That is a good suggestion.
Yeah.
And that make it participation numbers.
Exactly. And as he mentioned, North and Hoover are probably the ones that suffer the worst from participation. You combine those, I think more kids will actually even come out to play.
The lines are full, but Tiggy in Des Moines will have the final word tonight. Sorry we couldn't get to everybody. Tiggy, go ahead.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
We can.
Oh, hey, I want to do a moonwalk to Mr. Murphy. I've been here a long time before he got silver hair, and you are still a handsome fellow. Can you hear me?
Is this talking to me? Is this Jenny calling in, just like making her voice raspy to talk to you?
No, this is Jenny calling you, Mr. Murphy. You are a silver fox.
Did she call you a silver fox?
It's the greatest show of my life. That'll do it for us. Thank you, Tiggy. We're back next week. Hope you are, too.
We leave you with the Sound Off send-off. Recent Humboldt High graduate Ashlyn Clark at Wrigley Field Wednesday. Hanging out with Cubs pitcher John Lester, Mark Freund, and Sam Lozada. Honored to bring you that story. Stay strong, Ashlyn.
She's also signing for you.
That was the deal, right?
Yeah, it was. I was really nervous, and I was like, okay, don't double your words, but I mean,
he's a pretty cool guy. And it brings out the giddiness in me because it's like, oh, you get so nervous talking to everybody and being in the dugout. I mean, it's hard to talk about. Like, it kind of makes me emotional because it's like these people are out here and they're playing a game, but I mean, they have a heart too, and they have heart for like everyone, and like especially people in like the same condition that they've been in. So it's like, I mean, it just shows how great people are, and it's just, it's really nice to hear and see. Thank you so much.